speak to us today and encourage us. And we ask this, Lord Jesus, for your holy name's sake. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, St. Margaret's. It's great to see you, and thank you for coming. And thank you, Chris and the band, for leading us in worship. We'll be back to you quite soon. We had a very exciting whole night of prayer last Friday evening, starting at 5:30 on Friday and going on to 6:30 on Saturday with a short supper break at about 7:30 on Friday evening. It's very encouraging. It was very encouraging. And we weren't... Well, there was room for everyone, I have to say. But it was wonderful, the number who came. And so if you missed that, there's 3/4 of an hour of prayer next Monday at 5:45 to 6:30 here in church. And if you want to stay and have supper after that, do sign the sheet. But do come either for prayer or come for supper if you can't get here for prayer. We'd love to see you for anything next Monday evening. And details, I think, are all on the website if you can't remember anything I say, which I could quite understand. May we turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2 on page 466, beginning at verse 1 of Nehemiah chapter 2. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought to him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I'd not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of the heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take, and when will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah? May I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's park, so he'll give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy?" And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my requests. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. On the whole, it's very easy to be confident that we can trust the Lord Jesus Christ when we're here gathered with a whole group of other people in church. But it's not quite so easy to feel quite so confident, sometimes at least, when we get back to work. Here we can feel utterly certain that Jesus is Lord, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is indeed the Lord. However, this afternoon, or sometime tomorrow morning, it can possibly feel somewhat different. Other people's priorities and expectations can suddenly seem more important. Others suddenly appear to be the ones we have to keep on side at all costs. We can find ourselves feeling over-anxious about their opinions, their reactions, their possible decisions. Subtly, our faith is undermined. And if you'd met Nehemiah on the day we just read about, he would have understood exactly how we sometimes feel. He was a man like you and me who took his faith seriously. who knew that the God he worshipped was Lord, the ultimate authority in heaven and in earth. However, he also found, in the presence of King Artaxerxes, that it didn't always feel like that. We can see that in verse 2. King asks you, "Why does your face look sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of the heart. I was very much afraid," Nehemiah wrote. And actually, the phrase translated that here is a very strong, panic suddenly gripped me. He was there in this presence, having been confident of God, and suddenly panic gripped him when it came to just saying to God what he wanted. Saying to Artaxerxes what he wanted. Of course, Nehemiah had prepared for this moment. He prayed for just over 3 months, 100 days, the commentators say, about what he was going to say. It was clear what God wanted him to do. And when the moment arrived, after the initial panic, and when he didn't duck the opportunity, God gave him the wisdom to say what he needed to the king. We read in verse 3, we heard read in verse 3. "May the king live forever. Why should I not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins, its gates destroyed by fire?" The thought of a desecrated burial place struck a chord in Artaxerxes' mind. Graves were sacred places for the Persians. Wisely, Nehemiah didn't mention the city in question was Jerusalem, which Artaxerxes had been responsible for knocking down its walls and burning its gates with fire. But after the difficult start, remarkably by the end of the conversation, all that Nehemiah wanted had been agreed and signed off. He prayed when things hadn't looked very promising, and he was clear that God had answered his prayer. The end of verse 8 it says, "And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my requests." What Nehemiah discovered that day was the truth that Christians down the centuries, what you and me, have learned. The Apostle Paul, towards the end of his life, found it to be true too. He writes at one point, "At my first defense, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength." And the Lord Jesus Christ looks at you and me, wanting today to renew in each of us the same confidence that Nehemiah and Paul were given. Of course, they were apprehensive in their situations, but they found God faithful when they needed him most. Each found their prayers were answered in situations where the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ was not honored. They found him to be the one who could make the difference anywhere, and who for us will be the same whether we're in church or whether we're at work. I wonder how confident today you and I are in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's Lord of every situation. And I wonder where we particularly need his help at the moment. What's the issue you're wrestling with? What do you hardly dare pray about? What are you anxious that's coming up and can't quite see how to sort it out? Jesus is the Lord.